Today I want to talk about sowing and reaping. Again, I just want to say that there are Christian believers who teach that God does not want to bless you. They criticize Joel Osteen when he says that. I'm serious. I heard it with my own ears this week. Very prominent person. Prominent people are saying that somehow that you shouldn't do this. So I just thought, you know what? It's time to really make sure and lay it down for everybody. Thank you, Pastor Frank preached a wonderful message on giving, and it was fantastic. And we've been teaching on this, but I wanted to lay these principles down for us so that we receive a blessing. Because it says here, as we have opportunity, I want verse 6, please. Oh, Jan's not here. Okay, so let me read verse 6. Verse 6 says this: let the one who has taught the word share all good things. Everybody say all good things. With the one who teaches. See that? So immediately Paul is saying that when you become a Christian, you are stepping into a household of faith. It says it right there in the last part of it. See that? Be especially do good to everybody. Yes. Bless the guy that needs help. Bless the people out there. But especially to what? This is where your special priority for blessing is. You realize that God has provided the church as a means to share and to be a blessing to you and a place for you to give. And it's like a household. Because you know what? That's what family is all about, right? If I need something growing up, I ask my brother, I ask my friend, whatever I need, we share things. How many of you had hand-me-down clothes? I was the youngest in the family. Guess whose clothes I wore all the time? Everybody else's. My two brothers, it all went to me. Because that's the way the household works, right? It's the way the household works. And it says, let the one who is taught share all good things with the one who teaches. So there is not only a connection with the household of faith, but there's a connection with sharing with the leaders or the preachers of the Word of God. Did you know that? This is what Paul is saying. This is something important. It is not like, oh, it doesn't matter. Just give to the church building or give to the church stuff. No. It is specifically in the Word of God right here that you give and share for those who are in leadership in the church. That's what it says. Why? Because you're sowing to the Spirit when you do it. Because there's something about the Holy Spirit that's on us, okay, that has set us apart for the work of the Lord. That's just what happened. God had his hand on me. I'm talking about my life because I can talk about it. I kind of know it. But I could say to you with all honesty that God put his hand on my life. And I realized that I had a job to do and I had a service to do and I had a mission to do before I even realized it. And when God puts his hand on someone to be a leader in the church, to be a minister, that word minister literally means servant. That person has a call in their life and they've been separated. You know, Paul said, I was separated from the womb to serve God. I believe it. And I believe that this church is an incubator for leadership in the Spirit. There are people here that have yet to step into the calling that God has for them. And there are people here that are already stepping into it, that have stepped into it. But there are people that need to step into it and recognize the truth. Some of us have been set aside to lead the church. And God has made provision in the household of faith for them to give their time and their energy to the ministry. But at the same time, I will do whatever it takes, whether I get what I need or not. You see what I'm saying? I've done it over the years. I'll do it again. God sent me back to school. I was going to leave school and go to Bible school. So God said, no, you're going back to music school, buddy. Why? He wanted me to get my teaching degree. He wanted me to do more music. Plus, there was revival going on in Princeton that he wanted me to be a part of. Okay? So what I'm trying to say to you is that God will set you aside, and there is a principle in the Scripture that the ministry is designed to be supported by the household. By the household. That's how we do it. So, some households are blessed because they know that concept. God has called you to be a part of a house. I want you to know that. I really, really want everybody to sense that. There's something about American Christianity that says, oh, no, I don't belong to a church. I belong to the church. And then they never go anywhere. And they just wander about. And they flit and float. Because they don't get the household part of it. They don't get the fact that there are designated leaders that God has set in the church. Right? Ephesians, what does it say? For God has set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to do the work of the ministry for the perfecting of the church, the building up of the church, till we all come into maturity. So there are people that God has put in there, and we need to share things. Now, when you share with me, it's not just things, but it's also ways. So Paul was telling the Galatians, I want you to do things my way too. Don't just, you know, share, like if I'm teaching, don't just say, oh, that's very good, and then just act like it doesn't matter. No, it's not just a matter of just sticking something in the offering, but it's also doing things the way that we do things. And for example, one thing that I like to do is like pray before I make decisions. I mean, I like to hear from God. I like to spend time in the Word. I like to be kind with people and not, you know, rip people. So like Paul is saying, I want you to be like me too in my Christian practice, because these guys in Galatia were heathen. And it's interesting, the teaching about sowing and reaping is not to Jewish churches, but to Gentile churches, people that were very, very heathen, very heathen. I mean, issues that Paul dealt with in Corinthians was where a man was sleeping with his daddy's wife. Weird stuff that they had to deal with because it was that kind of crazy in Corinth. Corinth was one of the craziest places because it was a seaport. And have you know, seaports are pretty wild places. You know what I'm saying? Where there's a lot of people coming in and out, and it was a lot of idolatry. They weren't like Athens where it was all a bunch of smart, educated folks. These were like rough and tumble, rough people. And Paul said, God told Paul, you got a lot of people in Corinth. So I want you to go to the next scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Because the thing that we want to talk now is we want to talk about sowing and reaping and how to properly understand sowing and reaping. You first have to be on guard against deception. Paul said in Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. God, don't be deceived. What kind of things can we be deceived about? Well, here's the first thing. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Well, what am I being deceived about? Well, are there Christians that teach that you can be sexually immoral and a good Christian? Are there Christians that teach that? Yes, in America, churches, entire churches have said you can be sexually immoral and be a Christian. We will actually ordain sexually immoral people. Are there churches that will do that? Big name churches doing it. Splitting churches today, right now, because of that. Idolaters, we're going to talk about that. What's the next one? Adulterers or homosexuals. So these are deceptive practices that violate the law of sowing and reaping. And what you will find out is, if you do those things, you will not reap good stuff. This is called sowing to the flesh, right there. That's sowing to the flesh. The question is, am I sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the Spirit? That's the question. Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing to the Spirit? You're either doing one or the other. There's no in between. There isn't like a little bit of flesh I'm sowing to or a little bit of Spirit. No. Whatever it is that you're sowing seed in, it's either going to produce flesh or it's going to produce Spirit. There's no such thing as flesh it or splesh. Got it? And don't be deceived. This is ways that you will realize that you are not sowing to the Spirit. Go to the next verse. Uh-oh, look out. Thieves, greedy, drunks, revilers. That means a slander. That means when you say bad stuff about people. Swindlers. Now, what do swindlers do? They talk you out of your money and stuff. And they're really good at it. You know, I hate to say this. There's some preachers out there that are really good swindlers. I'm serious. I sat there in rooms where I heard somebody just talk somebody out of their money. I mean, people were throwing money up like left and right, and they just had this ability to do it. And it wasn't a godly thing at the time. I'm telling you, it broke my heart. May God help us if we take any kind of those attitudes. Drunks. Well, that means you're intoxicated on something other than the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Drunkards are people that are intoxicated on something other than the Spirit of God. I believe that there is a joy and a place of, I would call, spiritual intoxication or spiritual, a place of spiritual, well, the Bible calls it, what's the word for it? Ecstasy. Did you know ecstasy was something God did before it became a drug? I got to watch that word now. We got to come up with a different word. But that's the word in the Greek. Paul says, I was praying one day and I came into an ecstasy. And God showed me a whole bunch of stuff. That means he was like going, yeah, wow, boosh. Ecstasis. That means like I went to a place that I wasn't there. And that's happened several times. And it will happen to you. It can happen to you. We got to believe God for that. There's nothing wrong with getting blasted in, I call it blasted, getting blasted in the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with getting overcome, with having your knees go weak, or with having you just fall over, or having you just all of a sudden blank out and your brain is somewhere else because God is talking to you. There are times when I've been where God just took me somewhere, and I was in one room, but my brain, I was with the Lord, and we were having an intimate conversation, me and him, about stuff. And it's good. It doesn't happen all the time. It'd be fun if it was. Then no hangovers. But, amen. I love this next verse. As such were some of you, but. But. I love this. You know what? And, you know, I'm not trying to say, well, how many are this? How many are this? Raise your hand if you're this. I don't really want to know. You know, what some of us, what stuff, you know. But it says here, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Can we say that? You were washed, you were sanctified, made holy, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32 in your Bibles. Paul again talks about that deception. He says, what do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with the beasts at Ephesus? Notice he calls them animals. He calls them a bunch of animals. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You realize that is the philosophy of America in many places. It doesn't matter what you do to your flesh. Just do whatever. Because we're all going to die. It was the philosophy of Greece of that day. It was the Epicurean, what they call the Epicurean philosophy, for those that like look up big words like that. And they believed that you just, life did not matter because there was no resurrection. Or they talked about karma, but you know what? Karma doesn't stop anybody from doing the wrong thing. I never heard anybody say, well, you know what? Karma stopped me from robbing that person. No one ever said that, but the fear of God will stop you from that. Resurrection, hell will stop you from doing it. Aren't you glad that God set up hell? That's a whole lot more motivation not to do the wrong thing. Oh, that's right, eternal punishment. I think I won't do that. I think I'll just pass. Yeah. I get people talking more about karma than they talk about hell, except when they're swearing. Yeah. Karma's Hindu. What do we do with this Hindu stuff? Don't talk about karma. Talk about hell and talk about the resurrection. Because that's what the life, what it's all about. But look what it says. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. You realize that he was dealing with people that did not understand the household of God. Now, one of the most important things a mommy and daddy can ever tell their kids is, who's that you hanging out with?
That's right.
Right? Am I right?
Yes.
Jesse, truth. When Eva was staying with us for a couple days, right? And she wanted to go over to somebody's house. What was your first question to me? Call me up, text me. Who is that person? Do you know them? Check them out. Right? Am I right? Kelsey, same thing, right? Who is that girl? Check them out. So, that's the way a household runs. Am I right? Come on. Somebody say amen about this. So if you become a Christian in the house of God, don't you think it matters who you spend the night with and who you hang out with? It doesn't mean, that you never, like, physically are with them. But Jesus said you be in the world, but not of the world. Now, hear me on this. I don't advocate us, even though we're on top of a mountain, kind of separated. But I don't advocate you never talking to anybody or just minding your own business your whole life and just only talk to people who are Christians. I'm not saying that. What am I saying? All right, let's go on to the next scripture. 2 Corinthians 6. This is important in the law of sowing and reaping, because When you sow to the flesh, that means you're hanging out and doing stuff with the wrong people because they always doing that stuff all the time. And sometimes God will cause you to separate yourself and become hang out with the fam, the spiritual family. The spiritual family. And the spiritual family has to act like a spiritual family. What do you do when a new family member comes in?
Celebrate!
Woo! Either like, Bruce, what do you do? I see all y'all's faces when Bruce comes in. Angel grabs him, starts walking around him. Right? Or how about this? How about you discover a cousin you hadn't seen for a long time? What do you do when you see him? Like, wow, I haven't seen you in so long. You celebrate. But church people, come on, get a new family member and they just ignore them. I'm too busy. I've got too much money to make, or I've got too many problems, or I'm, you know what I mean? And you don't take the time to welcome the family members. You don't act like a family, church people. But this is what we're talking about. Look where it says in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's a difference. 1 Corinthians 6, 14, it's different. Now look at these words. Everybody say yoked. For what partnership? Everybody say partnership. Has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship? Everybody say fellowship. Has light with darkness? And what accord? Say accord. Look at all those words. Same words over and again. With Christ and the Belial. That's the devil. Or what portion? Everybody say portion. Does a believer share with an unbeliever? That means when you get something, you share it. Hey, I got this really nice cake. Come on, let's have some. That's portion. That's family, right? I just got blessed with this gigantic cake and I cannot eat all of it. Have some. How many of you know the refrigerator is not just for you guys at home, right? That means if somebody's there in that fridge, your precious leftovers may be gone the next morning. Amen. You're sharing your portion. And then the last word, agreement. That means you hang out with people. Come on, this is very important. I know there are people that I hang out with and they know me and they know that I don't agree with certain things that they are into. They know it. They know it. And they love me anyway. Do you realize that you can hang out with people and not do what they do? And not be in agreement and not share their portion and be with them. But the love of God is so in you because you love them. You're not judging them. You're not acting like you're better than them. Come on. You have a heart of humility and service. You're not sitting there trying to point the finger like that chart was. Everybody else's sin is way more than mine. You have an attitude that I'm dealing with my struggles. But I'm sorry, I don't agree. And they still love you. Why? Because you're real. You're not a phony. You're not acting like you're better. You're not walking around with your nose up in the air. I believe you can be that way. And they don't know why they like you. Sometimes they just don't get it. There are people in this community that are diametrically opposed to what I believe in, but they like me. They come and hug me. And you know what I mean? And that's okay, because someday that love of God is going to break through. And because I realize that I have not been appointed the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, if they ask me, I will give them a good report. I'll tell them what I believe, but I'm not trying to shove the Bible down their throat. Amen? But I'm just being real with who I am. And then they just go, well, maybe, you know what? I just saw God bless you with a car. Maybe, you know what? What happened? How did that happen? Well, I don't know. I didn't think it was really anything was going to happen. I have no money. Everything I'm spending is going to everybody else. And I can tell you a whole lot more if you got about 3 hours. But all I know is one day somebody called me up and said, guess what? Someone wants to give you a car. Right? I'm sorry. I just can't help it. I'm going away for 2 weeks, Angel, and I can't give you a hard time. So I've got to get it all in one little piece of time, right? Jim, just help her, okay? Just... Oh, wow. You know, we are the temple of the living God. It says, look at the I wills. Go to the next verse. I will make my dwelling among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst. Be separate from them. Touch no unclean thing. You can be out, but not gone. I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. Do you realize there are Christians sitting in churches today that don't have the family of God anointing on their life? Because if you do not allow God to place you in the household of God, you will not know the fatherhood of God. And I want you to know, but the fatherhood of God loves you. And God wants to bless you. Because I know my daddy in heaven wants to do things for me that I don't even ask for. Because he knows what I need. So by the time I even think about asking it, he's already got it on the way. Amen. He wants to treat us like sons and daughters. And people cut themselves off from the family atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And because they're not willing to separate themselves from that old devil family. Come on, I've heard some of y'all talk about your families. And some of them you thinking, man, that family line. I don't hang out with them. Why? Because if you just knew, Pastor. No, I don't want to know. Okay, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody's got the crazy uncle, you know what I mean? Someone you might make it through dinner with them at Thanksgiving. They may never get invited again because they just blew it after that last time. Yeah, okay. All right, now let's go to James 1. Let's talk about one more thing about sowing to the flesh. I want to say this is very, very important. James 1:13. Okay, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot. Everybody say cannot. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. That means that God himself is not the author of evil. He is not the author of any problem. Who? Come on now. Who? James, how do you get into stupid stuff? Sorry, it's not God. I like to call it stupid stuff because it says each person is tempted when he is lured by his own desire. Now I'm going to show you the process of sowing to the flesh. It begins with desire. It doesn't begin with a thought. It doesn't begin with your will, it begins with your want to, your lusting, your desires. Desires is that it's wanting to do something but not knowing why. It's wanting to do something but not really knowing why. You just get drawn to it. You know what I mean? Something comes out there and you just get lust. Lust is this strong urge that is disconnected from truth. Ooh, that's a good definition. I need to write that down. Lust is a strong urging that's disconnected from truth. So people knowing that if they do this thing, it will kill them. They just want to do it. That's lust. That's desire. It begins with lust, and then it goes to what? Then desire, when it has conceived. Now, when desire is conceived, we're going to call that mind. So it goes from your desires, and then your brain gets in there, and then you start thinking, oh, well, it gives birth to sin. Now, is desire sin? No. Are there times when you want to do stupid stuff? Yes. Is it sin? No. Why? It hasn't conceived yet. Don't let that baby. Don't go there. And that's in your mind. So it goes from desire to mind. And then what it says, desired. And then when sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death, then it creates a spiritual problem. So you've got your desires, you've got your brain, and then you've got spiritual death. Spiritual death, which also can include flesh. Do you realize that when Adam, God told Adam, what? He said, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you will what? Well, they ate of the tree, right? It says their eyes were open, but was their flesh dead? So what died? Their spirit died. Their spirit died. So people will spiritually die by committing sin. Don't let it go there. Don't let it go there. Stop it at the desire part. Don't conceive it. You know, when you conceive something with your mind, right? Oh, I just conceive that. Yeah. That's when you work it out, your desire in your head. Right? This is what these guys do that commit these murders and stuff like that. Right? They have this ungodly spiritual, and sometimes that desire is prompted by an unclean spirit. There are times when I'm in a room and I feel this desire coming at me. It's not coming from me. It's a spirit that's in the room coming from somebody else. I'm like, why am I feeling tugged on here right now? And I'm like, no. Oh, there's where it's coming from. See ya. I'm out of here. I'm serious. You're like, why am I getting this desire to be angry? I'm not angry. And then you feel it coming out of somebody like they are so full of anger spirits, you know? And they're lustful spirits, like, you know, getting on with somebody. I'm sorry for being crude like that, but it comes at you and you're like, wait a minute. The Lord said, don't blame yourself. It's not coming from you. It's somebody else trying to put it on you. It's a lustful spirit. So get that. Sometimes those desires will come but don't conceive of it. Don't let it take your brain and create a mental plan or image. Don't work it out. These guys who commit these shootings, you know what? They get this lust to kill, and then they sit there and they plan it out. I mean, details. It's conceiving. And that brings sin when you actually make a plan to do sin. Don't let it get there. You know, I want to say it. Just don't let it go there. Disconnect the lust from the brain, from the mouth. Don't let your mouth go there. Don't let your head go there. Don't let your actions go there. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Cut it off. Do good. Yes. This is important because it's kept me from doing really bad stuff. You know what I mean? And there's been opportunities. Come on now. Everybody knows there's opportunities for messing up. They will happen, but you don't. Yeah. Don't go there. Don't set yourself up. Don't let your brain meditate. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on good things. Meditate. Don't fill your brain. Don't conceive of it. It's important. I really wanted to take some time there. Is it okay to take a little time on that one point? Because I feel like that's where we mess up. You know, don't condemn yourself always. And what you'll find is the lusts will go down because it doesn't work. The devil's not stupid. Not like that kind of stupid, because he realized it doesn't work, so he won't keep trying it. And then it says that it conceives, you know, because what? God, Every good and perfect gift is from above. Oh, we got to say that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So where's your good coming from? Your daddy. Your Father God. You want something good in your life? Don't do it through lust. Don't try to get it through lust. Don't get it through conceiving sin. Get it through God. Let Him give it to you. Let Him give it to you. That's how you sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. He's the Father of lights, for whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Hey, guys, listen. I really feel like the Lord wants to tell you this. Don't get frustrated when you can't get things that you feel like you need to have, even things that God promises you. Let God give it to you in His time. Don't, you know, sometimes I feel like I've made that mistake before. Don't do it. Ishmael. Yeah, there we go. Oh, God. Yeah. Ishmael. Man. Don't try to get something ahead of time from God. Let God give you what He wants to do. It says here that His own will He brought us forth. So let me tell you, if things get worse in your life, does it stop God's blessing in your life? Can I give you an example? Church got smaller. A lot smaller. About 15 years ago. Did it stop God's blessing? Did we accomplish what we wanted to do? What we needed to do? Yes. With less. Is it something we did that would make that was because we were so awesome and clever and fantastic that we did it? God just did it. God said, I promised I was going to do this. It's going to happen. Okay, so you're about one-third of the size you were before. I'll do it anyway. Because it isn't about us. It's about Him. So let's just keep talking about that. Say you have a job and you're making $80,000 a year. You lose your job and you're making $30,000 a year. God says, I'm going to bless you. Right? Do you think that's going to stop God from blessing you? Well, wait a minute, Lord. My pay just went down. It's just like one third of what it used to be. Did it stop God? Nope. Why? Because it's all about Him. Now, I'm not saying that God can give you a better job, okay? Got you on that? I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's God's will that you're not making as much money. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God can bless you because it's all about Him. Amen? Wow. Okay. Two characteristics of sowing to the Spirit. James chapter 3. I'm going to go fast. I'm going to do faster. I'm going to talk faster. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Two characteristics of sowing to the Spirit. How do you know that you're really sowing to the Spirit? And we've talked about sowing to the flesh and what that's like. But let's talk about what it means to sow in the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit has two characteristics. Who's wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Next verse. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Jealousy and selfish ambition is sowing to the flesh. That's when people try to get stuff through manipulation, control, and intimidation. The three nasty things of the demonic realm: manipulation, intimidation, and control. I'm going to try to intimidate you by my, or I'm going to try to manipulate by my, or I'm going to try to control you by my. And that's how people try to get stuff. But you don't get stuff that way. Don't get stuff that way. Next verse. But the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in what?
Peace.
Sown in what?
Peace.
By those who practice, make peace. So, how do I know I'm sowing to the Spirit? Answer. You win. You win. You got it. Peace. There is peace about what that sowing is all about. Sometimes it is a spiritual discerning of peace where the Lord says, I want you to sow to this ministry, or he says, I want you to sow to that person, or I want you to, and sowing, and you know, that's where you're giving an offering. We're not talking so much about tithing, but tithing is important, okay? But when you're sowing, you have a sense of peace about those kinds of things. It isn't full of selfish ambition, jealousy, factions, control, manipulation, swindling, drunkenness. None of that stuff is happening. There's just a sense of peace. Hey, I just want to do this. I feel this is good. I feel I'm going to sow in this. There's a peace about what God wants you to do with your time, talents, and treasure. Time, talents, and treasure. Sow your time. Sometimes people just need you to give their time. Sometimes they need your talent. Sow your talent. Sow your talents. Are you really good at something? Then sow it into something to bring about a kingdom result. You'll feel peace about it. And treasure. Your physical treasures, things that you might have. You know, I mean, thank God Kenny had a working chainsaw. Couldn't get my old chainsaw fixed. I mean, it's real. This real stuff we got to deal with. Come on, guys. This is not pie-in-the-sky stuff. We would not get off the hill without it. Literally. So what did he do? He sewed it. He said, here, if you need it, use it until you get that other one fixed. All right. That was a sewing. Did it bring, was he sewing to the Spirit? Yes. Did it bring out good peace? Results? Yes. It produced peace, especially when Ronnie can get off the hill during the storm. Ronnie had peace because he could leave. He didn't have to walk out of here and, you know, call a cab. Call Jenny to pick him up. Climb over the trees. Okay. Yeah, right. And they were big. Danny was down there cutting. And then, I mean, well, long story. Okay, next characteristic of sowing to the Spirit is joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever this point is, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Oh, this is such an amazing passage here. Each one must give as he has decided in his, not lust, not desire. Get it? There's a difference between heart motivation and lust motivation. It kind of goes down a little. I'm sorry. Not quite the same place. See, the stomach, this is all the lower, the lower desires, right? But the heart's above that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank God it's between this and my head. Ooh. Can somebody say amen to that again?
Amen.
Aren't you glad your heart is between this and this?
Amen.
Where is faith? The Spirit comes into our heart.
Amen.
Then he's got to deal with this and this. Because this is too used to dealing with this. And it usually doesn't do a good job.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vincent. It says, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Now, this is the Bible. This is what the Word of God says. Sorry, people. Those of you that criticize sowing and reaping, this is here. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a joyful giver.
Yeah.
Cheerful, happy. There's joy. There's something joyful about giving. And God is able to make all grace to abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely. That means from the heart, no compulsion, no pressure, no manipulation, no intimidation, no control, no swindling, nothing. Freely, just because you want to.
Amen.
Because you want to. Oh, that's so powerful.
Yes.
How does God love you? Why does God love you? Why does God bless you? Why does God give you? Why did God save you? Why did God send Jesus? For God so what? Love the world. Did he feel compelled to send Jesus? Was he under compulsion? Did he like have this desire to, I want to really kill my son here? No. You know, there are people out there that try to paint the crucifixion like that. They say, well, you know, that's cruel. How could anybody send their son to die for your sin? And they come against it. They come against this substitutionary atonement. That's crazy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, this is what I got saved on. I got saved on John 3:16. So the whosoever loved, you know, not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Freely you have received. That means God gave it to you because he wanted to. Freely give now. Freely give. So do you have happiness when you give? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. Everybody say supply and multiply.
Supply.
I love this part. I love this part. I love this part. I love this part. You know why? Because God wants to do more than supply. He wants to multiply. That is so cool. Do you realize that he cares more about just giving? The word supply means you have like the basics. Like toilet paper. We all have to have toilet paper. Amen, right? Right. Especially when you live with a woman. Yes. Ted. Right. And the bathroom. No, just kidding. Okay. No. Right. Like the world will end if you do not have toilet paper. Right. Am I right? God supplies toilet paper, but he multiplies too. That means it's not just one roll. There's many rolls. So I'm like telling Marianne, we need to like prepare in case we have power and we've got problems, you know, and what if there's a big power outage or something like that? We need to start putting stuff downstairs. So the first thing she gets, guess what? Yeah, baby, you are not going to be in a, like out of power for like for a week or two and no storms and be out of toilet paper. So we are going to be stocking up on toilet paper. Multiply toilet paper. God wants to multiply his supply. He wants to multiply the supply. It's not just about getting your needs met. What does he want to do? He wants to take your supply and multiply the supply.
Amen.
So that it's not just going to your needs being met, but other people. Not just people right next to you being met, but like people maybe in another country? Do you realize that we've had supply multiplied right here, multiplied in other countries? Many countries multiplied the supply that God gave right here. The toilet paper in Martinsville has been multiplied in other nations. So that they have a supply now from you. God loves doing that. He doesn't just want to bless you so that you just, you know, okay, I got enough, thanks. He wants you to be able to give. So this is one of the reasons why God tells his servants to go places to preach. It's not just about having a church here in Martinsville. It's also about an orphanage in India, which is where I'm going to in 3 days. Why spend all that money and why... Why go? You know, you leave on Sunday night and you arrive Tuesday afternoon. That's the time it takes. And so why do that? Why send money like we did to put beds in for a girl's dormitory? Why? We're multiplying seed. Amen. We're multiplying seed because it's more to just supply, but it's also to multiply. Why do that? Why go to England? Well, England's got plenty of stuff, right? But you don't realize that the seed that we carry is in our words. And the spirit that we carry with us. And simply by going somewhere and speaking the word of God, we have people here that done mission trips. Danny, take this whole section over here. Mission trip right here, right? All three of you guys. Brazil. Frank's been, Pastor Frank's been how many places? I don't know. John, you know, anointed men of God. Vincent, Birgit, I didn't even think about it. Janine, Jan, you know, yeah. Kenny, you know, Mary Carol, more. I don't know. There may be one I don't know about. But here's the thing. Why go? Because God wants to multiply seed. And look what it says. For the ministry of this service is not merely supplying the needs of saints, but overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of the service, they will glorify God, and because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of your surpassing grace. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Wow, there's a lot there. I'm not going to unpack it now, but I'm going to say this last thing about reaping. There are three harvests that in the Bible that talk about. The first harvest is the barley harvest. Took place at Passover. The second harvest took care of the wheat. And the third harvest was the wine. Paul said, reap if you don't get tired, weary. The last harvest is the wine harvest. That's the one you had to wait the longest for. And it was the best one. That's the wine, baby. That's the one I want to make sure. That harvest comes in. I'm staying for the wine. Now look, barley, wheat, and wine. Barley is your body. God wants to supply the needs for your body. Can somebody say amen? Do you want a barley harvest? Yes. I want a barley harvest. I want God to take care of this body of mine. I want to feed it. Okay? I'll tell you what I like. I can give you no problem. I'll let you know what I like. Anything she cooks, go ahead. I'll take it. Okay? I mean, I like take care of this body. Yes, God will take care of your barley harvest. He will also take care of your wheat harvest. Your wheat harvest is a nicer grain. You can do a whole lot more with wheat than you can with barley. Right? That's your mind, will, and emotions, your soul. God wants you to give you a really good harvest in the way you think, in the way you feel, and in all your decisions. Can somebody say amen to that? I want a good barley harvest. A good wheat harvest and a good barley harvest. Take care of my body, Lord. Yes. Take care of my mind, will, and emotions. I want a good wheat harvest. That was Pentecost, by the way. And then the third harvest was at the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was the wine harvest. And baby, that's the spirit. That's the wine. That's the stuff that makes you feel good. That is the spirit of man that brings you joy. You realize that I learned how to be happy on my spirit. And I don't care I get happy on the spirit of God. That's my wine, baby. That is the wine of a different kind, praise God. That's the vintage that no man can make, only comes from God in heaven. And I want that harvest too, because I love grapes too. I'll eat the grapes. I'll eat the grapes as soon as they get in the house. But you have to wait for that harvest. Amen? So, we're going to confess the scripture, and then I'm going to ask y'all to pray for us for this trip. Okay? There's a prophetic word. I got to be friends through Birgit of this lovely couple from the West Coast who brought the Holy Spirit to Estonia. Tom. I've been friends with them now, but we haven't seen each other or met. But they send me some different words. Well, it just so happened that the word this week I want to use in this message. So here it is. And I'd like us, if we could, stand for this. Can we stand up? And I want us to confess this prophetic word. Okay? Here we go. Are you ready? And I want you to say this with like you mean it. All right? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Never be held back by what you call lack or need. For I call them miracles of trust. As you trust me, my child, I will open up doors of blessings you have never even considered before. Remain faithful to me, for I will show you my faithful and miraculous supply. There will be no limit of resources to see my harvest of the nations reached and my bride made radiant. How about that for a prophecy, huh? You just prophesied to yourself and the people around me. Now, here's a scripture we want us to quote, taken from the Passion Translation. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. I mean, we need to memorize that last part. Especially me. I do. Lord help me.